When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. There's JJ, brand new guest producer. We've got this revolving door going on that's just like beautiful. And this is Short Stuff.
Yeah. JJ's, he's a pro though. Like, it's not like you can just show up here and right. take a ticket like you're at the deli.
No, nothing like that. This isn't Katz's Deli. No. Although I'd be pretty happy if it was.
Nor is it Dr. Katz's therapy office.
Anytime I hear of Dr. Katz, I think of, I think it was Dom Herrera. He used to be a regular on that.
Yeah,
and he used to go like, Dr. Katz, cha-cha-cha. And it's been in my head since like 1993.
Oh man, Dr. Katz was great. I miss it.
It really was. Let's go watch some after this, okay?
All right, but let's talk about Cord of Roy first. Mm-hmm.
Sure. That's fine. We can talk about that.
Because you see him wearing it in honor of today.
I know. You're wearing some rust-colored corduroy pants that mm-hmm. I would say are maybe probably about a 10 to 12 whale.
Yeah. Because
maybe eight.
They're pretty standard Levi's cords, whatever that whale is. And if you're wondering what we're talking about, we'll tell you here in a minute after we get to a little bit of the history here, which is debatable, apparently.
It is.
Because it's either French in origin, Corde du Roy, the king's cord.
Mm-hmm.
But my money is a little more toward what the Brooks brothers say, which is, no, mate, it was street wear in 18th century England.
I don't think the Brooks brothers sound like that.
No? What do they sound like?
Oh, really?
I can just think of Albert Brooks and Super Dave Osborne as the Brooks brothers.
Oh, that's good. Why Dave Osborne? He's not a Brooks, is he?
They're brothers, man. Believe it or not.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Isn't that great?
Wow. Yeah. Man, their parents must have been really cool.
Probably so.
Okay, so either way, what we're really talking about here is where the origin of the name for the fabric came from. It looks, Chuck, like corduroy has its roots way further back than that, and that it comes from possibly, improbably, a type of fabric from dating back to about 200 CE, back in ancient Egypt,
mm-hmm.
called fustians, named after the city where they were made. Al-Fustat, which is, I think fustian is still actually a term for certain types of corduroy or certain types of fabric, including corduroy, that are real thick and squishy, and originally they were pretty coarse.
Yeah, but that Brooks Brothers story has a lot of credibility because the word cord, referencing the rows, the
sure.
ridges, the cords.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
And du roy, which is a wool fabric.
Right.
That sounds like a pretty open and shut case to me, no?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm with you. I'm going with the Brooks Brothers interpretation too. It was really just the impression you did that I had an issue with.
Oh. Okay. But the again, fabric itself, you think that is Egyptian or Middle Ages and then later Egyptian?
No, so it was Egyptian first, but it was It wasn't corded. There weren't whales on it. It was just one thick piece of, like velvet kind of, right, where you have a certain kind of fabric and then woven on top of that fabric is it the fabric that makes it kind of plushier, thicker, sturdier. And that is what corduroy is at its base. And that's what they were making for many, many centuries. And then finally, at some point during the Middle Ages, somebody said, hey, I've got a really good idea about this. Let's turn this into corduroy by cutting rows into this stuff.
Right. What we do know in the United States is that it was first made in Worcester, Mass. In about 1780.
Uh-huh.
And I do need to shout out Corduroy the Bear here because
sure.
not only does it appear in this HowStuffWorks short article
mm-hmm.
on corduroy, but I have a pretty great Corduroy the Bear history, which was, I loved that book a lot as a kid.
Sure.
Did you?
I was aware of it, but I think it was a little ahead of my time.
Okay. I think it was ahead of my time, too. I mean, it, I think it predates me. But I loved the story, and my mom made, she got a teddy bear that looked kind of like Corduroy and made him little Corduroy overalls and shorts and was missing a button. So
that is so sweet.
Yeah, I had my very own. That was kind of one of the great things about my mom is she could really sew, and so she could make me things when they did not exist on the toy market.
Oh, that's neat. Or she could save some money and just make her own knockoffs.
Well, we did that as well.
Right, right.
I had more than one t-shirt made from like curtain fabric.
That's hilarious. My mom used to take my t-shirts and like stuff them and turn them into pillows when I outgrew them.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty sweet. I have no idea where they are anymore, but yeah, I had a few
that's
of
very
those.
Nice.
I had one that said BMX.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool to have today.
It really would.
So we mentioned the whales, and I think we should get to that before we take our little break. The whales are those rigid little ridges, W-A-L-E-S.
I'm so glad you spelled it.
Yeah, and it's the higher the whale count, the smaller the little ridge is. So if you have worn one of those really fine sort of like corduroy Oxfords, I'm not a huge fan of them. I for myself, I don't mind the way they look. But I've never liked them for me personally, but that's about a 16 whale.
What don't you like about them?
It's just not my bag. I'm not big on collared shirts, period. They
I see.
Ruffle my neck and my chin.
Yeah. But that particular one you just described about the 16 whale cord, I think is typically called pin cord.
Yeah, you have some of those, right?
I do not, but I have to say researching corduroy made me want to go buy some corduroy stuff, so I think it's in the offing.
Yeah, my problem with my cords is they really wear out in the knees very fast.
Yeah.
And I'm not even a guy who spends a lot of time on his knees. You know?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm not scrubbing floors much or anything, so I don't know what the deal is.
Okay. Well, that's a mystery I think we can go to a commercial break on.
All right, we'll figure it out.
Well, now, when you're on the road, driving in your truck, why not learn a thing or two from Josh and Chuck? It's stuff you should know.
Stuff you should know.
All right.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right, and the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Chuck, we're back. And let's talk a little more about how corduroy is made, right? Because this blew my mind when I finally saw some diagrams and I understood it.
All right, let's hear it.
So with a typical fabric, you take two different sets of yarns and you weave them together perpendicular to one another, and you have fabric.
Mm-hmm.
When you're making a fustian, like a thicker, fluffier fabric, like say terry cloth or velvet or corduroy.
Terry cloth.
It's very nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
You use a third set of yarn. And so what you have is that basic, you know, flat fabric. And then woven into the top of that is that thicker pile of fabric called the worst, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so just leaving it like that, you have something like velvet or, again, like terry cloth, which you love so much. But if you want to make corduroy, you take that fustian fabric, and then you take a very sharp set of scissors or something like that, and you cut a line all the way along the length of the fabric. And what you've just done is created a two-whale bolt of corduroy. But that's, no one's going to wear that, right?
Yeah, and Two Whale Bolt is a great band name, by the way.
It is. That's funny, because I was just going to say, the only person who'd wear that is somebody like Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
But he'll wear anything as pants, as we've seen over the years. So you start making more cuts and more cuts. And like you were saying, depending on how supple or nice you want to make the fabric, the more cuts you're going to make. But however many cuts there are, however many ridges there are per inch, that's the whale count, and that's kind of describes how thick the ridges are. But the point is when you make that cut, what you've done is cut that top layer of fabric, the additional third set of yarn, and you've cut it into two, and you've exposed the other traditional two yarn set of fabric underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what corduroy is. It's a raised ridge that used to be all one complete set of yarn, and then there's valleys that are the fabric below.
Yeah.
I've been practicing this for for days.
That's good.
And it still didn't go according to plan. Like,
no.
I want to cut my thigh with the razor blade right now. No. I'm so frustrated, Chuck.
No, I think that was perfect, actually. What you end up with, and how they actually refer to it in the industry, is a three-dimensional fabric, a three-dimensional pile weave. And like you've mentioned, velvet and terry cloth are also three-dimensional fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty great. They say in here that you need to steam or fluff corduroy. I don't think that's the case, or at least I've never done that.
No. Only a Brooks Brothers would do that.
But I do have a pretty rockin' corduroy coat from back in the day. I mean, this thing is, I probably had it for 20 years, and I got it secondhand. And it is beautiful, and it's got a really fat whales on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't pull it out much anymore. It used to be my New York coat, but I've evolved a bit since then. But I still have it, and it's really a nice coat.
That is, yeah, I think I know the coat you're talking about. I'm either confusing you or Joe McCormick has one that he likes to rock a lot.
It's probably Joe, because I haven't worn mine in years.
Okay, but you got yours secondhand 20-something years ago.
Yeah.
So that would have coincided roughly with the last corduroy revival. And the first one I remember was in the 90s. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I mean, they were big in the 50s, certainly in the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 90s, I think that's when I got this thing. And I got two. I got one shorter one that had a narrower whale.
Right.
And then this longer one that has the big fat whales. And I think I still have both of them.
Is it like a trench coat, a corduroy trench coat?
Yeah, it's like a long corduroy coat with the big brown buttons and like a wool lapel.
Is it like a barn coat or something?
A what?
A barn coat?
I'm not sure what that is.
It sounds like what you're describing. You're going to have to wear this in someday.
Yeah, yeah,
okay?
I'll bring it in.
All right, cool.
I'll
just bring it in for show and tell.
Sure.
But yeah, so it was kind of big in the 50s, really took off in the late 60s, and then really huge in the 70s, and then went nowhere until the 90s. And then I guess this thing said in the 2010s it came back, or the 2000s it came back in, which I was not aware of that at all.
Well, I've always rocked the cord pants. But over the years, it has ranged from like school uniform fabric to, in World War I, low-ranking soldiers wore it.
Mm-hmm.
Work wear, if you worked in like a factory, because the stuff is pretty warm.
Right.
Because it's thicker.
And it's durable, too.
Yeah, very durable, except in the knees. And and then it's, you know, sometimes it's also been looked at as something a little fancier.
Right, which it apparently originally was. It was sportswear for the upper class. And then somehow just kind of fell out of favor and became associated with the working class. and the lower classes. And then it just kind of stayed that way until, like, I think starting in the 20s. For a little while there, it was pretty common as upholstery for cars. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Yeah, I have seen a car upholstered in corduroy, and it's pretty awesome.
I'll bet it's pretty awesome. The only way that could be any better is if there were, like, patchwork corduroy
car seats. Yeah, and now I know the jacket that you're talking about that is Joe's, for sure.
Yes, I think it even has elbow patches.
Yeah, his is more like a blazer.
Sure. Not a duster like yours.
That's right.
What else you got?
I got nothing else, man. I support corduroy. I like knowing a little bit more how it's made.
Yeah.
And I say wear it. It's never out of fashion.
Up with corduroy.
Agreed.
If you want to know more about corduroy, by the way, check out Heddles, Heddels.com. They have something called Corduroy. Read between the lines of the Wailed Fabric by James Smith. And it has a picture that will finally explain, better than I possibly could, how corduroy is made. Very simply.
Yes.
Okay, well, see you guys later, because Short Stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.